You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Pop and Stuff. Push your bed when things get rough. HR Pop and Stuff. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
Welcome to Banzai Retro Club, another episode of our show. This is
episode 7.
Dave is not with us this evening, but it is my favorite 80s music girl, the only 80s music girl.
Hi there, how's it going?
And I am Scott. And we are going to do an icon, but in a different way. We usually do icons like either actors or actresses or musical people that we would, you know, would choose a band or something. Tonight we're actually going to do a character, a movie character that has been in 5 different movies throughout the 70s and 80s, and that would be Mr. Harry Callahan, played by the wonderful Clint Eastwood. Now, eventually we're going to do all of Clint Eastwood's filmography, which will be a lot of fun. But we're just going to focus on Dirty Harry tonight and the 5 Dirty Harry movies that came out between the 70s and the 80s. Now, initially I thought, well, that was 70s, but then I remembered there's actually a couple in the 80s, too, that were really, really two of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, so. Deadpool's my favorite.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yeah, out of all of them.
Let's run down there. Do you have those in front of you?
I do.
Do you want to run through the...
Okay, so we started up.
Okay. And the year.
I do. I can do that. And just so you know, I heard people out there going, all right, Rocky! It's like, no.
And they actually were... He's actually been in 6.
Yeah, so yeah, you would have got that wrong and the number and everything.
I believe, right? Creed?
Yes.
That's another Rocky one, right?
Yeah, but that was what is it, a prequel?
No, I thought Rocky was training Apollo Creed's son.
Oh yeah, that's right. You see,
I haven't seen it, so I don't know, that was the gist I got from the trailer.
I'm saving it for something when I don't have absolutely nothing to watch. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Horrible.
So,
anyway,
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry, 1971. And
hey, look, a squirrel.
Yeah. you'd have thought they would have just did like Dirty Harry 1, 2, 3, but they didn't. They actually had, you know, real titles. You had Magnum Force in 1973, The Enforcer in 1976. Sudden Impact, 1983, and The Deadpool in 1988. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Deadpool, the Marvel.
Yeah, the character. Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually a real thing. A lot of people don't necessarily, I don't know how many people actually know it, but Deadpool, the Deadpool is like a kind of this twisted game
it really
that people
is.
Play.
It is twisted.
Yeah.
It's I remember I remember hearing about this. We'll talk about it more once we get to that point.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Out of five, you already said that your favorite was Deadpool, which
right.
I think let's start with Dirty Harry and kind of work our way through the filmography and and kind of get to the Deadpool at the end. So Dirty Harry, I had to go back and watch the trailer. I haven't seen this movie in forever, but it's got, you know, one of the most classic lines in all of movie history, you know?
Yes.
Or not just one line, but it's a monologue that Clint rolls through, and he talks about, did I fire six or did I fire five? And the question you got to ask yourself is, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? You know, and it's
good job.
Do I feel lucky? I was reading, and I've heard this before, that's one of the most misquoted quotes of a movie that's out there. You know, a lot of people say, well, do you feel lucky, punk? And that's not what he says. And I admit I've probably dropped that line a few times myself incorrectly. But, it's just a classic line that everybody knows. You know, even some of the younger generation probably has heard that throughout the years, with all of us older generations, you know, quoting those lines. And and Clint Eastwood, he did it so well too. He did play a good dirty cop, which he wasn't really a dirty cop. They said,
not in the sense
that they are dirty cops that people see dirty cops today, you know.
Right.
The tagline was, you don't give them an assignment, you just turn them loose. That was it. And so, you know, he goes about taking the law and using it to his best advantage and maybe pushing the envelope a little bit here and there. But, you know, his character and this movie, Dirty Harry, the original 1971, set a new precedent for cop movies, you know? He took it to a new level and almost created his own genre of cop movies in the way that it was shot and done. So it's really cool. So how do you feel about the first one?
You know, I remember seeing this in the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
With my mom. My mom was a huge Clint Eastwood fan. And I didn't realize how much of one I was also, because I remember him from his cowboy days on Rawhide.
Yeah.
And my grandmother liked to watch a lot of Westerns. And
he was really on Rawhide.
I thought he was. He was on some kind of TV show back in the day. It was probably Rowdy Yates. Is that Rawhide or?
I don't know. I was never really a Western.
Let me look. Yeah. I don't want to misquote and have people like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Get her off the show.
And that was probably in the 60s, right?
Yes. Clint Eastwood's been around for like 100 years.
87 to be exact.
Is he 87?
Yeah, he was born in 1930.
I almost whistled there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, now I got to come out of Wikipedia and go into IMDb. But bear with me, folks. Leave it to me to mention something that I know absolutely nothing about.
What was his name? His character's name?
Rowdy Yates. Rowdy Yates. Rowdy Yates.
Oh, there it is. Rawhide. You're right. You were right. Wow. 1959, 1965.
Oh, awesome.
He was on. He was in 216 episodes.
Yeah, he was hot. I remember him being like super cute. Thinking to myself, man, I like this guy. Although, you know, other Westerns I liked for different reasons, but this one actually was strictly for him. But the Virginian, well, that was for the opening, the intro with the Winchester.
Right.
Oh, man, I wish I could do that. Yeah. But anyway, so I remember seeing it in the theater and drive-in. And I remember him being, like, super grumpy, like, all the time. Uh-huh. And I'm like, why do they call him Dirty Harry? Because he doesn't look like he's dirty, and he doesn't do, like, mean things. You know, mind you, I'm, like, 12.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to, you know, psychoanalyze this guy. And I'd come to find out he just didn't put up with people's crap.
Yeah.
He just, you know, didn't have time for the BS. And it kind of made me wonder, as I'm reflecting back on it now as an adult, how do you create a character like that? Is there somebody, like, in real life that you're mimicking him after? Or is this an answer to, I'm going to get deep here, is this an answer to all of the, you know, Vietnam protests and the, you know, riots and shootings at colleges and, you know, kids are like acting out and they're making napalm bombs or whatever you call them, Molotov cocktails, and throwing them in the street. You know, all the stuff that's been going on, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years is finally, you know, the law enforcement is just really tired of it. Uh-huh. I can imagine. I would only imagine that they're, you know, fighting a losing battle, especially when you got hundreds or thousands of people walking the streets every day complaining they want equal rights or no more nukes or, you know, Vietnam, you know, that's not our war. And, you know, you just think about all the protests and everything in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, and the police that had to be involved in that, you know, to keep the peace. You know, if they had like 500 Dirty Harrys, they probably wouldn't have lasted very long. Of course, there wouldn't be a whole people left to tell any stories about it. But
yeah,
I don't think he was really about that. I think he was like strictly just out for, it's the bad guy I want, and that's it. You know, I don't think he was interested in beating up students or anything. There's a lot of crime in the streets, and he just wanted to clean up the street.
Yeah.
So I remember being impressed by his attitude, even though he was grumpy. I thought, yeah,
well,
this
I know,
guy looks pretty.
I think that's the trailer that I watched, that where they said that his wife, you know, the character's wife had died from mm-hmm. a drunk driver.
Okay.
And so after that point is, it seems like that's what made him just hardened and bitter and kind of put an edge onto him. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of what gives him
absolutely
edge against people that are breaking the law, you know, a drunk driver
right.
breaking the law. So he's just out to get anybody that's actually breaking the law. So it's kind of his own little vengeance in his head, I think. So that's, but you know, he doesn't take any crap from anybody, and that's one of the things that you really appreciate about him at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
and he has like no patience for authority whatsoever. You know, anybody that's over him in an authoritative position, he's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not disrespectful to an extent, but he knows what he's trying to do, and he doesn't want to follow all that bureaucratic red tape again.
Yeah. Well, one of his quotes in that first movie is, "Now you know why they call me Dirty Harry. Every dirty job that comes along." So he gets all the dirty jobs. So it's Dirty Harry. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great. Sure. I mean, there's so many great lines in this movie. Actually, there's a bunch more. Keep going, but everybody knows the one that I already mentioned. The, you know, do I feel lucky? Mm-hmm. Well, do ya, punk? It's great. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
And there's,
yeah.
There's another one we're going to get to in one of the other movies that is like one of the most well-known also.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the next movie that came after this one?
Magnum Force, 1973.
Magnum Force. Now, you know, I'm like 1973, I'm only 5 years old, so I didn't see it when it on the first run. I probably watched it in the late 70s, early 80s. And probably through HBO or something like that. And I remember this one being a really, really interesting one because it was about bad, these vigilantes that dress up like cops. They're fake cops. They're driving around. There's a guy, a motorcycle cop driving around, you know, San Francisco, taking out bad guys, which is, you know, kind of what you want to happen anyway, that bad guys get taken care of. But it's somebody that doesn't it's somebody that doesn't take care of the side of they don't carry the power of the law with them.
I'm gonna have to correct you on that. Sorry.
Were they not killing bad guys? Were they killing good guys?
No, I actually recently watched this act. I had bought it for Richard on DVD not too long ago, and they were rookie cops. There was four of them.
There were
Tim Matheson, yes, David Soul, Robert Urich, and there was one more. Or maybe it was just the three. And they were ex-airborne rangers.
Oh.
Special forces. And, yeah, they had basically, that was their thing, you know. They were their own little hit squad. And when they would see people get away with murder, basically, literally, you know, they would take them out themselves.
Oh, I get it now. My mistake. It's been a long time since I've seen that
I'm sure there probably is a movie out there with people dressing up as cops.
Well, no. Because
that's what
that
I first thought it. Go ahead.
I thought they were the ones, let me see, Magnum Force, right?
Yes.
It says, Dirty Harry's on the trail of vigilante cops who are not above going beyond the law. Okay, so they were cops.
Yes. Were...
Well, that's not what the description says. Dirty Harry's on the trail of vigilante cops who are not above going beyond the law to kill the city's undesirables.
Right. My name.
I remember a scene where a motorcycle cop is drives up to a car and shoots the driver. Yeah, it's very vague, but that's the scene that I remember. So
yeah.
Tell me more about
it. Yeah. Well, it's just so what happens is the scene that you saw is when a mob boss, Carmine Rica, he drives away from court and there's an angry mob out there and he's basically acquitted on a technicality. And a San Francisco Police Department motorcycle cop stops the limo for a minor traffic violation and then he pulls his revolver and shoots all four men and drives away.
Okay. So. It's coming back to me a little bit on that one. Man, I can't remember the last time I saw this one.
Yeah. If I hadn't honestly saw it just within the last couple of months, I'd be like, man, I just totally don't remember this movie. But I was, I did see it. And I thought, oh, David Soul and Tim Matheson and Robert Urich.
A lot of big names.
Tim Matheson, yeah, went on to, you know, do some pretty cool stuff. He was more of a comedic actor, but David Soul, of course, came out of Starsky and Hutch and Robert Urich. Can't remember what he did. Sci-fi, wasn't it? Wasn't it some kind of sci-fi thing that he did?
Robert Urich.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look that one up. I can't recall right off the top of my head. I know there's a lot of I got a lot of useless information up there. Robert Urich is not part of it.
Oh yeah.
Which I can sometimes act, but sometimes it's amazing what little tidbits of information come flying out of my head in the middle of some strange conversation. I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? And you know, Chrissy's always saying, how did you know that? Like, I have no idea how I know that.
Yeah. yeah, he was in quite a few things. Oh, SWAT. There you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And he was in Vegas.
Vegas,
with
baby.
Dollar signs. Yeah, Vegas. Wasn't he in Vegas? Wasn't that with Tony, what's his face? Am I thinking of a different Tony Curtis?
Could be. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever watched that show.
Anna drove around the streets of Las Vegas in 1957 Ford Thunderbird convertible.
I know he was a real heartthrob back then, right?
Yes, he was. One of his many clients was Philip Roth, played by Tony Curtis. See?
There you go.
There's that useless information again.
Yep.
Not just you. Yeah, they'll probably push something out that I need, like my address or phone number or something.
Right, something important.
Yeah.
Where did I leave my computer cord? Where was the... Yeah.
I was thinking about Dirty Harry, and then all of a sudden it was gone.
Yeah. So, just to fill everybody in, we had a little delay this recording because I couldn't find my power cord for my laptop, and that's how I record shows. And the show wasn't going to happen if I didn't find it, and I totally forgot that I left it outside. So, there we go.
There you go. And I don't do any recording because I don't have the capabilities, in case anybody was curious.
Yeah.
And if not, it's fine. I just gave you useless information that you don't need to know. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, nice. The Jelly of the Month Club. Christmas
vacation. Exactly. Yay.
Let's see.
So, yeah. So that was good. So that was a good one. A good episode. You know, it takes him all the way to the end to figure it out, but that's okay. He's got bigger fish to fry. But he finally does figure it out.
Cool. You know, I would love to revisit some of these. I wish I had more time to just sit down and watch movies. There's so many of these things that I'd really like to get back into. Like the next one that we're going to talk about, The Enforcer, 1976. It's the third in the series. And the only thing I remember about this one is that there's a bus scene. And I think there's a bus scene. I think that's the one I'm thinking of.
Honestly, I just remember that Tyne Daly was in it.
Tyne Daly,
and
yes.
He's always trying to protect her from herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, let me do stuff. I know how to do stuff. And then something happens and, you know, she almost gets killed and she's like, oh my God. I don't think he said, see, I told you so, but it sounds kind of like something he would say.
Let's see what, if you got any, I don't
remember. So I'm not,
I don't remember this one much. Like I said,
it was a terrorist, actually, People's Revolutionary Strike Force.
Yes, that's what the description's saying. And I'm drawing a blank on this one, other than the bus. There's something about a bus driving through city streets or something. I don't know.
You didn't have to, like, Sandra Bullock wasn't driving.
No, it wasn't Speed.
Oh, okay.
That's Keanu Reeves. It's not
good. Okay, I'm just saying. I don't know. A lot of bus driving movies.
Although I think Clint would have played it better.
Well, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think we're going to spend too much time on this one just because we don't remember much about it. There's another movie of Clint's that's right after this one called The Gauntlet, which is another cop movie. I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't a Harry Callahan movie. It seems like it would have fallen into that category and could have fit into the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to actually, which I think this one is... 1983.
This is 80-something podcast.
Andy!
Andy!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Yes, and 1983 is, which one is it?
What's the name? Sudden Impact.
Sudden Impact. And that one is with his, I don't know if they were married yet, but his wife, Sandra Locke.
Uh-huh.
Who also starred in a couple other movies with him that we'll talk more when mm-hmm. we talk more about when we do a full Clint Eastwood episode. So Sandra Locke's character is, and her sister are raped by this gang. And mm-hmm. so now you're going through the whole movie watching Sandra Locke going around killing these gang members as a revenge, because when they raped them, they like put her sister into a full on, like almost a comatose state, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, her whole life was just taking care of her sister at that point. Her younger sister too. It was it was quite disturbing. Like the flashbacks that they kept showing of when it was happening. It was very very horrific scene of what they were going through. And you know, even though she's being a vigilante and taking things in her own hand, you're kind of rooting for her because these people are scumbags and really do deserve what they're kind of getting. And, you know, Dirty Harry has to figure it out and save the girl, of course. Now, I don't remember. Do you remember she actually, like, does she get convicted or what happens at the end of that one? I can't remember.
I'm honestly not sure. It was a while ago that I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she died.
I don't think she died either.
I think she, I don't know. I don't think he let her go. Yeah, I think she might have actually gone to jail.
Yeah, I think she does. I think she ends up going to jail. It's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah, because somebody has to take care of the sister, I guess. I don't know. Maybe the sister died. I don't know.
No, I don't think the sister died.
Definitely worth looking into it. Well, because she went to jail. And then who takes care of the sister? Or maybe the sister's in the hospital. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
Drawing a blank on how it all came together at the end. But I do remember just kind of rooting for her because of what they did, you know? You're like,
she's an anti-hero.
Yes, exactly. Which, you know, there's a lot of injustice out there, and that's one of the things that sometimes happens, and kind of gotta sometimes support the vigilante idea. You know, these people should not be getting away with it. Although, you know,
right,
the best way is to do it legally, but
yes, if any police officers are listening out there, we know that it's not the best way to go, to take the law in your own hands, because that's illegal. So, but I wanted to read this one little part here where he talks about, and they're talking about the plot. And the San Francisco Police Department homicide inspector Harry Callahan is frustrated when a judge yet again dismisses a case due to his, what he sees as, unreasonable search and seizure. Later at his favorite diner, the inspector interrupts a robbery and kills three of the criminals. Mm-hmm. When surviving robber takes a hostage, Callahan targets the man with his 44 Magnum and challenges him to go ahead and make my day.
That's the line.
Ow!
Yeah. Go ahead and make my day.
Surrenders.
Yeah. And you can see his face when he does it. You know, he's got that little bit of a crooked lower lip going on. You know, it's just eyes squinting, teeth gritting, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just, so well delivered, and it's just, it's one of those lines that you hear throughout the years. Go ahead, make my day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people use it very nonchalantly and jokingly, but really, he delivered it. He nailed it on that line. And it's actually number six. I think that's the line. It's number six on the most quoted or best quotes of film history.
Wow.
But that number six is rated by, where did I see that? It's rated by like Hollywood, you know, the Hollywood groups, the Actors Guild or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Actors Guild. So that's like the most, number six most popular quote from a movie, according to the Actors Guild. I could be wrong about the Actors Guild. It's one of those. I can't find that information now, but I'm looking for it. It's funny.
Yeah.
You know, you come across all this stuff as you're trying to do a little bit of research, for a show or whatever, for the shows that we do. You take so much input in such a short amount of time, and you can't go back and find where you found it. You saw that in the first place.
Yeah. So I read all the way. I didn't read all the way, but I skimmed all the way to the end of the plot. And basically, Callahan convinces the police department that all of these people that were shot by his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a compassionate Callahan and a vindicated Spencer leave the crime scene together.
So he covered for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they became a love interest.
I guess. But that was the end.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So
go ahead, make my day. And he's got that whispering voice, you know. He's never mm-hmm. loud. He's never boisterous or loud. He can just
He can be.
Yeah, but he doesn't really do it that often. His characters are usually pretty like soft spoken but very powerful. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, like my mother used to speak to me like that.
Yeah. Yeah, scare the crap out of you.
Oh, you better believe it. That's worse than yelling.
I'll give you something to cry about.
So you met her. Awesome. That's great. Oh my God.
Don't make me pull this car over. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out.
See, that's what they need to have. They just have Dirty Harry parent parodies or something.
Oh, yeah.
Clint Eastwood reading idle threats that parents say to their children. Your ass is grass, and I'm the lawnmower.
Don't be crying over spilled milk.
Oh, goodness. That is too funny. That's just too funny. I think we're on to something. Oh, goodness.
That's it.
Alrighty.
You're grounded for 2 weeks. No TV.
Oh, yay. Oh, wow. This is a good one.
What?
So we're going to move on to our last Dirty Harry
mm-hmm.
movie in the series, Deadpool. The story is from 1988. And this was intentionally Clint Eastwood's last Dirty Harry movie, because he was 58 at the time. and he felt like if he continued to make any more, then it would just be kind of like a parody.
Right, it'd be unrealistic for a cop to be working that late into their career.
Right. So, yeah. Well, that and the fact that, you know, being almost 60, you know, he's sure he wouldn't get away with some of the stuff he got away with when he was younger. So it talks about the story
back
concerns
up,
the manipulation of a Deadpool game.
Back up. You got to back up. I lost the connection for a second there.
Oh, okay.
So it starts out.
Okay. Do I talk now?
Yeah, say again.
Okay, the story concerns the manipulation of a Deadpool game by a serial killer whose efforts are confronted by the hardened detective Callahan. It co-stars Liam Neeson, Patricia Clarkson, and Jim Carrey in his first action dramatic role, each of whom eventually went on to greater film, blah, blah, blah. 91 minutes is the shortest of the five Dirty Harry film series. And the Deadpool is notable for coining catchphrases uttered by Clint Eastwood gun-wielding character, one of which is "opinions are like assholes, everybody has one."
I totally forgot about that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I did not know that's where that came from. Here I am thinking that, you know, that's been going on for years. So, yeah. I remember this because Liam Neeson plays a slasher film director.
Right.
And it's one of his earlier roles, and he's actually kind of, his name's Peter Swan, but I don't know. He's just really kind of la-di-da a bit. But it was actually a really good movie, I think. It's one of the better ones because it has to do, you know, with them taking on not so much another serial killer, but somebody that's obviously got it out for Harry.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's on the pool.
He's on the pool. Right. Yeah.
Now, do we need to explain what the Deadpool actually is? Did you already say that?
No, actually I didn't. Okay. I just referenced it and it manipulates the Deadpool game. And, you know, if you like to take that, you're more than welcome.
Okay, so the Deadpool, and I remember hearing about this like right around the same time that it was an actual thing. The Deadpool is people bet on what celebrities are going to die in the next year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of money involved and it gets crazy. And so somebody puts Harry Callahan on the Deadpool, even though he's not really a celebrity in the sense as like an actor, actress, or musician or whatever. Like Jim Carrey's character, Johnny Squares, is a musician that kind of reminds me of like Axl Rose when they were, you know, the way his character is portrayed kind of reminds me of like an Axl Rose type character from Guns N' Roses. And so Johnny Squares' name is on the Deadpool, and so somebody starts taking these people out instead of letting them die by natural causes or by overdoses or whatever, or car accidents, something. People have this money in there, and so somebody's like setting it up, and now Harry's name is on the list, and that's the goal, is like whoever's taking these celebrities out is eventually going to try to take out Harry Callahan.
Absolutely.
So that's the Deadpool. That's the way it goes, and it's a good one. I remember being very excited when I saw it, and remembering it's a very well done one for considering it was the fifth in the series, the fifth and final.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's really weird because like it was 71, 73, so there's only 2 years between that. And then 76, so another 3 years between that. And then 83, so it jumped to 83, and then 88, so it went 76 to 83, that's how many years? 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then another 5 years for the Deadpool. It's amazing how they space these out, but they just keep bringing back Harry Callahan. And it never fails to deliver.
And, you know, in nowadays, it's the current times when you have, it's 2017, and they have different ways of rating movies. They've got this whole Rotten Tomatoes thing. I'm looking at this, and it's 95% for Dirty Harry. I'm assuming that's 95% Fresh Tomatoes. 80% for Magnum Force, 78% for The Enforcer. Then it drops to 56% for Sudden Impact, and then 52% for The Deadpool.
Huh. Now, do you think that's is that a statement about the generation that was watching these? Like, do you think it was do you think the ones that were in the 70s were maybe my parents or your parents too?
Yeah.
Were really kind of the cop thing was very popular. That style of cop movie was very popular in the 70s, and it started dropping off in the 80s because then they started becoming comedies, you know, like Beverly Hills Cop and 48 Hours and stuff along those lines. And, you know, the people that are more close to like our age started getting into the comedy cop bits versus the serious cop roles.
Right. And I think television probably had a lot to do with that as well.
Okay.
I just really don't think. I think the movies that they were watching back then in the 80s, they couldn't relate to them. You know, there were still things that, like you say, you know, it's a generational thing. And I think younger kids in the 80s were, they didn't want to watch serious stuff like that. They wanted to watch the, you know, the teen movies, you know, they had all of the, and their MTV, and they were really trying to separate themselves, I think, from their parents in a really big way. And that just wasn't something that they were interested in. You know, because remember, this is 80s now, and it's the onset of the slasher films. So you've got a lot of movies like that kids are going to. You know, you got Chucky, you got Michael Myers, you got, you know, Friday the 13th, and of course, you know, the big kahuna Freddy, you know, so everybody wants to go see a bunch of teenagers getting their throats cut, I guess. I don't know. I would think it would be the other way around, because in the 70s, perhaps the acting wasn't that great. The directing was always all right, but perhaps, you know, I would have thought it would have gotten better in the 80s as opposed to not better.
Yeah.
I'm making any sense at all.
No, I get it.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have flip-flopped. But having said that, Dirty Harry was like a big deal.
Oh, Dirty Harry. You know? Yeah. Especially if you...
Dirty Harry in the 70s was a big deal.
I think... I'm guessing that most of the people that followed him into the 80s were fans of him in the 70s.
They had to have been.
And because it's such a... And I think that goes back to my point about the movies being so far apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a better chance of losing its... excitement if you don't, and you don't really know that there's another one coming out. It's not like there's no cliffhanger, right?
No,
there's no cliffhanger in any of them. They wrap up a storyline. It's like watching a sitcom, you know, where they are not a sitcom, but or a drama series where every show there's an end to that situation, right? Like Law and Order, you know, occasionally you'll have a two-parter, but really they wrap up every show in that hour. And that's kind of what Dirty Harry was. So he wrapped up every storyline. There was no continuation like Star Wars. You know, the first Star Wars was kind of left in a spot where, okay, well, Darth Vader goes flying off into the nowhere and he could be, he could come back. It all depended on the success of the movie when I read some of the things I read about that. But Empire Strikes Back was a definite, we're bringing another one back in a couple of years, you know. 3 or 4 years, whatever it's going to be. So with this, there was no continuation cliffhanger.
Right.
So, you know, people might forget that what Dirty Harry was all about. You know, they might not realize that it's a Dirty Harry movie. Because it doesn't say, well, it does say on the Deadpool, it does say Dirty Harry in the Deadpool.
Right.
But, like, Sudden Impact?
Yeah.
How do you, you know, that could just be another cop movie that Clint Eastwood was in.
And you have to remember, too, Clint Eastwood in any form, any decade that he was in, was a hot commodity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because you think of all the spaghetti westerns that he made.
Yeah, in the 60s. In the 70s.
And then he went on to do Pale Rider and, you know, stuff like that. So he was always a megastar.
Yeah.
And I think probably it was like, hey, Clint, let's do another Dirty Harry movie. Well, no, I got like 4 other movies I'm doing right now, so.
I gotta ask myself, do I feel lucky?
Yeah, I don't feel kind of lucky right now. Just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. You know,
I think it was kind of, that had a lot to do with it too. I think it had, you know, he was kind of hard to pin down after a while, and then he started directing his own movies. And
well, yeah, if you look at you look at his lineup in the 80s, it's ridiculous. Like, it's nonstop. It's like, you know, several movies every year, and he was all over the place. So, late 70s too, he did quite a few. And then, I gotta say, one of my, like, it's become one of my favorite movies really of all time, and that's Gran Torino. That movie is amazing.
That is a really good movie. Because to me, that epitomizes Clint Eastwood himself.
Yeah, it really does. And he has a speech that he does about, like, today's youth. Not in that movie, but just that he did at some thing like, I don't know, 5 or 8 years ago, something, I mean, 6, 7, 8 years ago, where he had this speech and he rolled it out about how soft a lot of kids are today.
and it was pretty
entertaining. But anyway, this, you know, it's a great little series, five movies. It's something that I still look back at and go, wow, those were really cool, fun cop movies, you know, serious cop movies.
Right.
With some classic lines that people just won't ever forget.
Yes.
So anyway.
And I think it's interesting to, when people have, well, when studios decide they're going to take a main character, and they've all done it, all the studios take a main character and just, you know, create this impeccably amazing person and just run with it. I mean, look at how many years James Bond's been around. How many?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That they've had a James Bond. You know, it would have been nice if they would have possibly kept Dirty Harry going and not always have been. You know, Clint Eastwood probably would have said, "Sure, get some young dude in here. I'm done. I'll be okay. I'm all right. I'm waiting for a reboot. I know they're going to do it."
You think?
I think so. How could they not?
I would say keep that sacred myself. I'm not crazy about
reboots.
Well,
we do say that. Do they ever listen to us though?
No, they don't. And I have not been impressed with any reboots of some of the bigger movies. I know there's been a couple of movies that I found out after the fact had been made, you know, in the 50s, black and white or something, you know, and they came back out with it, but it was released in my time and I had no clue that it was ever existed before. And I didn't know it was a reboot, and I was impressed with those, but like the ones that we know, and then they're starting to like bring them back out. Like, didn't like any of the Charlie's Angels movies. That was just,
I didn't like the series. Yeah. I never cared very much for.
Oh, like the original series.
Yeah.
The original series.
So when they made the movie, yes, original movie, yes. Thank you, Farrah Fawcett. Yes, I know she's a goddess. I understand that.
She was.
But nothing I can do about it. But, you know, I watched a few episodes. You know, I have like the original inception of the three of them.
Yeah.
They were great. You know, I would watch them from time to time. But I don't know. I like the movies because they were actually like kicking ass. And Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, you know, they were actually doing it. They made it look believable.
Yeah. They really have made a lot of powerful female characters in the last 10, 15 years. Like, really, really kicking ass. Like makes a lot of guys just look ridiculous.
And, oh yeah, Beckinsale in Underworld. My God.
Oh yeah.
She scares me. I don't care if she's a vampire. The fact that she's a vampire, that's scary enough. But gee whiz.
Yeah.
But it's great stuff. And I think a lot of times, you know, like you were talking about with the movies from the '50s, and they're doing the reboots, you know, because they want to make them better. It doesn't always necessarily make them better.
Right.
You know, it just, you know, updates them more to the time so people can relate to it. Case in point, my grandson was over yesterday. Now, mind you, this is the one that I was talking to him about, Bohemian Rhapsody and Queen and all that. He says, you know what, Grandma? He says, my friend at school said his favorite Halloween movie is Dial M for Murder. I'm like,
wow.
Did they make a remake of that? He goes, I don't know what that is. I'm like, Dial M for Murder or a remake? He goes, he just said that was the movie that he liked on Halloween. So I'm assuming he's got some adult influence, you know, because that's from 1954, and that's Ray Milland and Robert Cummings and Grace Kelly, you know. And I had to look it up because I'm thinking, did they do a remake? And maybe they did, but. And IMDb, that was the only one that came up. So I'm like, who's your friend? Oh my God.
Somebody that like says, somebody who's turned them on to Alfred Hitchcock, apparently.
Yeah. I said, well, I said, let me explain it to you. I'll break it down to you because he asked me what it was about. And then once I got done telling him, he was like, actually, I just, you know, wanted to make sure that was a thing. I'm like, and you don't want to know what it's about? And he goes, no, not really. I'm like, too bad. I'm going to tell you. He's like, aw.
Murder.
I gave him a short synopsis and, you know, until it was, you know, directed by Alfred Hitchcock. And I said, if you want to know any more, you can look it up. And he goes, can I go now? I'm like, get out of here.
How old is he?
He's 12.
12. Okay. Yeah. That explains
that. Third. But it was weird because he just, you know, he wanted validation, you know, it's just like, really, is that a thing? I'm like, yes, it's a thing. The classic. Not as classic as North by Northwest or Birds or, you know, Rear Window, but it's up there.
The Birds. Man, that was, have you watched The Birds in any recent years?
His Inception?
Yeah, the original. Hitchcock? Yeah, Hitchcock.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. The scene, I laughed so hard, and I cannot remember the actress's name, but she was trapped in the phone booth.
Is it Suzanne Plachette or Tippi Hedren?
Whoever was stuck in the phone booth.
Was it the blonde?
Yes.
Tippi Hedren.
Yeah. When the way they shot the movie, they would show her like just looking in a direction and like look, making her look like she was supposed to be scared and screaming.
Uh-huh.
But there were no birds like in the birds were hitting the glass on the outside. And it looked so fake. It was just so poor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I know for the time
talking about the word superimposed.
Yes,
and you know, to where yeah, that does look fake as hell.
But for the times, you know, it was something that was that freaked people out. Like, why are the birds attacking? Nobody ever did they ever say why?
Yeah. You know, I don't think they did. Hmm. Nobody ever mentioned it. If they did, it was some kind of natural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Some kind of weirdness going on in the atmosphere. Yeah. See, that's the best part. If you don't know, mm-hmm. it could happen again.
Yeah, like the conversation we had before, you know, not knowing is the greatest fear that we all have. Like we were talking about horror movies a few weeks back.
Yeah.
The fear of not knowing what's around that corner, what's, you know, what is causing this to be this way, and just the unknown. Fear of the unknown.
Before we close,
yeah.
I gotta share something with you.
Okay.
I've been watching, and this is like a twofer. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there, if you watch Stranger Things season two,
no,
it's a little tiny spoiler.
No, well, spoilers. I'm sorry. I'm only on episode 5.
Then you've seen it.
Okay.
So scene where they're trick or treating.
Wait. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear this, leave the podcast now.
Yeah, close your ears.
Or fast forward 2 minutes or something. I don't know.
So the guys are trick-or-treating.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they're walking up the street. Michael Myers jumps out of bushes and scares the crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Max she takes her mask off and she goes, wow, you should have seen the look on your guys' faces.
And you scream like a girl.
Yeah.
And you scream like a little girl.
I know. Who was screaming like that? Anyway, so fast forward to the show that they have beyond Stranger Things. And you're talking Sadie Sink, who plays Max.
Mm.
The irony. She doesn't even know who Michael Myers is.
Are you serious?
She had no clue. Never saw any of the movies. Never saw any of the Halloween movies. Someone just said, here's a mask I want you to use. This will be your costume. Trust me, you're going to kill it.
Huh.
And she did. And I'm thinking, what? Please tell me somebody explained it to her after she did it. You know, like maybe it would have had some type of impact on her after the fact, but for her not to know when she initially went into it, I guess in a way that kind of, you know, gave it a bit of spontaneity, perhaps, but it's just, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, she's 12 or something and she doesn't, never saw, so she doesn't like horror movies. I'm like, Halloween, really? It's a classic. Who doesn't know that?
Yeah.
But it is pretty bad. It, you know, if you're just not really that type of person and you know, you can't separate or distinguish that, you know, the red stuff is like cherry syrup or something and, you know, you're not really actually stabbing anybody. That's just red syrup balloons popping up all over there. You know, if you don't want to go through all that, then yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I just thought that was amazing. I was like, wow, seriously.
Yeah, that's.
But they're out there. Lord bless them.
You gotta wonder. I mean, well, she's obviously young.
Yes. You know?
But you gotta also think she's had to have heard at least the Halloween theme song. If she's ever been to like Well, going trick-or-treating, people play that out in the front yard all the time. You know,
well,
they have it playing as you walk up to the houses.
Yeah.
So she's probably heard the theme music and has no idea what it's about. Like, why,
just probably
what brought it on, you know?
Yeah, just probably thought, oh, that's cool music. Yes, it is.
It's great stuff.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. I love it.
All right. Well, how do you want to wrap this up? We've done Dirty Harry, taking care of that. Should we talk about Patreon, maybe?
Do you know the whole...
I don't know the whole gist of it. Dave knows more about it than I do. But I know that you can access it from our website at BonsaiRetroClub.com. And if anybody wants to help support our the costs of running these podcasts, that's one of the way they can do it, is look up through the Patreon account, and it's on the website. So go to BonsaiRetroClub.com, and maybe if you want to help support us, that'd be really awesome. We'd really, really appreciate it. Because, you know,
yeah, it's, I guess like $1 a month or something, you can do it, right?
You can do it. You can do $1 a month. I mean, really, that's not a lot of money to go out. So, and it helps us cover the costs of the, you know, the space out there in the WWW.
Yeah.
To keep our podcasts out there and available. And, that's one way you can support the show.
Absolutely.
Other ways you can support the show are to help us get more ratings, is leave reviews for us. Go on iTunes, go on Stitcher, go wherever you can to leave a review for our show. And we would really, really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes and helping us out in that way, because it helps get our show out there for more people that enjoy us talking about the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which we just love to geek out about. So,
and clearly educate people.
Oh, yes.
You know, we have to be responsible for this generation's knowledge of nostalgia.
Yes.
That's what we've taken on.
And Michael Myers. You know, Michael Myers.
Yeah, we got to let little kids out there know Michael Myers is.
No, he wore a... He's not the one that wore the hockey mask. That'd be Jason or Pamela Voorhees. Yes. Actually, somebody told me the other day that it was that mask that Michael Myers wears is supposed to be a likeness to Captain Kirk or
William Shatner. Yes, that's what it was, and they altered it. Because they didn't think that they didn't want people to think, oh my God, it's Captain Kirk's killing all these people. So they went ahead and then I think they took some of the hair off or something, and they kind of whitewashed it a little bit more, and they altered it considerably.
Because it really doesn't look anything like Captain Kirk.
No, Yeah, John Carpenter basically explained that one. If you ever get a chance to see the Halloween documentary, talk about a shoestring budget.
I didn't know there was
one. Yeah. Really? I actually got to watch that once, yeah. It's very cool. Very cool. Getting back to the reviews, everybody, you know, I don't like doing reviews either. I always feel like I have to. And some websites make you do this too, which I think is really shit. You don't have to write a frickin' novel about whether you like us or not. It doesn't take all of that. So I don't know what their deal is, but you know, you give us 2, 3, 4, 5, 9 stars, however many that you're sporting up there, and just say, great stuff. Keep it up. You suck. Not really. You know, I mean, it's not anything that's horrible and difficult. So if you got 2 words for us, great job. We'll take it. If there's 15 great jobs with 3 stars, we're awesome. We're going to go pop the cork champagne, and we've made it to the big time. So.
Yep. Cool.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this was fun, Rose. I'm glad we were able to touch base on Harry Callahan.
Me too. Good old Harry Callahan.
So go ahead, make my day.
You got to ask. Know,
the goal is to use those lines sometime this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if I plan on doing it like all at once.
If you opinions are like assholes, everybody's got one.
Exactly. Yeah. That'll be awesome. I'll let you know how that turns out.
Yeah, me too.
And
I'll try
pretty much if I still have a job.
Yeah. Well, I'm in management, so I might be able to get away with it.
Yeah, your boss is pretty cool.
Oh, yes, my boss is awesome. So anyway, well, I guess I'll talk to you later then.
That sounds great. Do we want to tell everybody to be excellent to each other?
Be excellent to each other and stay groovy, people.
Party on, dudes.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!